Well, good morning again, friends. It's a joy and a privilege to open God's Word with you. And again, if you're a visitor with us, just want to extend a special welcome. Thank you for being with us. Let's continue in prayer as we open God's Word. God, we thank you again for even just the songs that we've been singing. Lord, that you did not wait for us. You did not seek a time when we were worthy of your coming. Lord, you descended while we were still enemies. Lord, you became God with us, even in our sin. Lord, we magnify the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, as we open your word, Father, I pray that you would grant us to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would free us from any distraction, free us from any self-reliance. Lord, open our eyes and our minds, Lord, to behold glorious truths. Lord, as we look at these familiar truths, Lord, I pray that we would see them afresh, that we would see your glory anew this morning. Father, we celebrate what we get to do this morning, what we are going to do in the witnessing of baptisms, in the hearing of testimonies of you calling exiles back into the family of God. Lord, as we listen, as we hear, as we watch, Father, we pray that we would continue to just magnify in the grace of our God. Lord, I pray as we open your word even now that you would help us to see Jesus afresh, that we might know why he came, what he did, that we might know what it is for him to be Emmanuel, God with us. We pray that you would magnify Jesus in our midst and that we might see him as our Lord, as our Savior, and as our home. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to think about something that happens to almost all of us in December. I know it happens to me. I wonder if it happens to you. This season has a way of exposing what's going on beneath the surface of our lives. You can hear it even in the music of the season, not only in the carols that we sing, where you definitely see that when we celebrate Christ, but it's also in the songs that play in the stores, or you hear on the radio stations, or you hear in the Christmas movies, or they're even part of your Spotify playlists. And if we're paying attention, these songs, they communicate a truth about us. We sing about peace while we still live in conflict. There is no peace on earth, we admit. We sing about home while still knowing a distance. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. We'll sing about joy while still experiencing sorrow. Now, the writers of these songs are not theologians. They didn't set out to make a doctrinal point, but in God's normal providence, they actually are putting to words something that all of humanity feels. Even when the room is full and the celebration is loud, something still feels unfinished. And friends, that feeling is older than any Christmas carol, any Christmas song. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time. We were created to dwell with God. We were created to live in unbroken fellowship with our Creator, but sin entered the world, and in turning from God, we lost something. We lost the home that our hearts were made for, and ever since that time, humanity has been longing for what was lost, trying to quiet a God-shaped hole, a God-shaped ache with earthly realities that were never meant to ever fully satisfy that hole or that ache. And this is why Christmas is such good news. It's why it's worthy of our time. It's worthy of our celebration. So this morning, I want to begin a two-part series called The End of Exile, God with Us, and us with God. Today we're going to focus in on the God who came near, how the incarnation, it breaks the silence of our exile. And next week, I want to invite you to come back. We're going to trace the full story of redemption. We're going to go from the garden that we lost in Eden all the way to the city that we will one day gain at the end of time. But today, I want us to see this good news embodied even among us as we celebrate New Member Sunday. As we welcome in these new members and we witness these baptisms, we're not just observing a ritual, something that we do every once in a while. We're watching God call sinners home and to place those exiles, those lonely, back into a family. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Matthew, and I'd like to read verses 18 through 23. Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What Matthew gives here is not just your typical birth announcement, it's a rescue announcement. Notice how the passage moves. It begins with a problem in verse 18. It reveals a plan through the angel's word in verses 20 and 21, and it ends with that promise fulfilled in verses 22 and 23. Matthew wants us to see that Christmas is God acting on behalf of helpless sinners. And I like to look at this passage, but we'll work our way backwards, so to speak. So Matthew pauses here in verse 23. He pauses the story of the incarnation in verse 23 so that we don't miss the meaning of what's happening. He wants us to feel the full weight of the name, Emmanuel, God with us. And again, friends, if we would even grasp a fraction of this, our hearts should tremble or be overwhelmed with joy. The God who thundered on Sinai is now crying here in a manger. The God who no one could see and live now enters into humanity so that sinners could live through him. The God who spoke galaxies into existence draws near in the frailty of human flesh. Why? Why did God do this? Lots of ways we could answer that question, but the way I want to answer it this morning is he did this because his people were in exile. The story of Christmas is not about humanity finding its way back to God. It's about God descending down to rescue us. It's about the humility of the infinite God. Ponder that again. He came all the way down into our ruin, not as a spectator, but as a savior to bring us home. Matthew tells us in verse 22, all this took place, meaning none of it was accidental. It was planned. This is the sovereign God fulfilling a centuries-old promise at the precise moment that he ordained it to happen. But why the exile, you might ask? Why the ache? Why is it there? Scripture is very clear. Our deepest problem is not circumstantial, although we deal with circumstantial issues every day. Our greatest issue, our greatest problem is relational. Sin didn't just merely misplace us, it expelled us. We're not wanderers who have lost our way. We are estranged from God because we rejected his way. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. We are living in exile because we have rebelled against a holy God, the holy high king of heaven. And unregenerate rebels don't get to return on their own. Our sin has offended a holy God, and it's created a distance that we could never close. And even worse, Paul says in Ephesians 2:5, we were dead in our trespasses. Dead people don't seek a living God. We're dead and we're lost in the desert of our sin. So that means the Holy One must come towards us. He must come into the far country to rescue us. And friends, this is why the direction of the gospel is always God moving down toward us. And it's why the angel's announcement to Joseph is so crucial. Look again at verse 21. The angel's words, they clarify everything. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. Matthew doesn't say Jesus will save his people from hardship or from Rome or from their harsh circumstances. He explicitly says he's going to rescue them, save them from their sins. Matthew identifies, he defines the real exile, and he defines the real rescue. It's freedom from the tyrant of sin itself. So the cradle points unmistakably to the cross. The wood on the manger, it anticipates the wood of Calvary, where the child who took on flesh would now take on our curse. Emmanuel is not merely God near us, he's God with us. And you might even say he's God for us. And that brings us to this moment, to this morning. Jesus, our Emmanuel, didn't end when he ascended into heaven after rising from the dead. Matthew bookends his gospel with the same promise. So in chapter 1, we see Emmanuel, God with us. And then in chapter 28, just before he ascends, he says to his rescued and redeemed people, I am with you always. Our God, our Emmanuel, is God with us through his Spirit and through his people. The church, this gathering, this family, is now the dwelling place of God. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:22, in him, in Christ, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter 2:5. We are living stones being built up as a spiritual house. When the church gathers together, Christ is with us. God is present with his people. This is why this day matters so much to us. And so again, what's happening here is not just us going through some ritual. This is God the Father, through Jesus the Son, by his Spirit, gathering his people. It's a visual reminder that the exile is over, and the shepherd is now leading his exiled, lonely people into the safety of his flock, of his family. But I want to speak personally for a moment as well. The beauty of Emmanuel doesn't stop at the church door. He's God with us every day. So he's with you when you wake up in the middle of the night anxious about a particular trial. He's with you in the waiting room when the news isn't what you hoped for. He's with you in the moments where you feel completely misunderstood or even unseen. Because Jesus is here, because Jesus came to save his people from their sins, he's removed the only thing that can separate you from a holy God and fellowship with him. If you are in Christ, there's no condemnation left for you. You are held. You are his. And you are not, you're not his because you hold on tightly to him, but because there's nothing in all creation that's going to be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we know that. We know that truth. We rehearse that truth regularly. And yet, even the redeemed, even we who are the church, we still feel that ache, don't we? I still feel it. Though we are home in his grace, we're not yet home in his glory. We live between two worlds. We are rescued, but we're also waiting. We're reconciled, but we're also longing. And that ache, brothers and sisters, is not evidence of God's absence. It's actually evidence of our citizenship somewhere else. We are not yet home. We are sojourners, wanderers, who have been reconciled to our God, but are still waiting for the full and final fulfillment of the promise. And yet some of you are here this morning and you know you are far from God. You are still in the exile of your sins. And so when I say home, your heart whispers, not me. And friend, I want to remind you, Christ came for wanderers. He is the shepherd and the savior who came to seek and also to save the lost. Matthew began by telling us why Jesus came, to save his people from their sins. That includes you. That includes everyone who will come to him today. Let me just remind you, you cannot earn your way back to God. You cannot earn your way home, but Jesus can, and Jesus did. This is the message that we celebrate at Christmas. The message of the name Jesus is that he saves, that you don't have to save yourself. The message of Emmanuel is that he is with you. You don't have to try and find your way back to him. Because of his cross, the way that was once shut has now been taken away. It's been opened. Your way home is open. So I beg you this morning, come and repent, believe. The Father stands at the door to welcome you out of the cold and into his loving embrace. And for those of us who are in Christ, who know our God as Lord and Savior, let's rejoice in what's happening today. Every baptism that we witness, every member, every testimony today is a living announcement. It's a living reminder to you and me that the exile is ending. The kingdom is advancing. God is still bringing people in to his home. He is still calling exiles out and bringing his children home. And so today we celebrate his arrival. Next week, I don't want you to miss next week. Next week, we're going to trace the long, winding road of redemptive history from the Garden of Eden all the way to the New Jerusalem. And we're going to see how God's ultimate plan was not just to visit us, but to take us with him to be home forever. So today we rejoice. Emmanuel has come. Our God is with us. Amen. Now, let's hear the testimonies of those who have been called out of exile.